This podcast is brought to you by DKP & Co. Chartered Accountants.
Talk about everything A-League is the Herald Sun's journo, Dave Davutovic. Dave, thanks for coming on the program and I hope you've had a lovely holiday.
G'day, Louise and Atos. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you. And it has been a very good and extensive holiday.
Dave, first things first, big news coming out of Sydney FC is their in-form forward, Trent Bahaja, has suffered an ACL injury.
Yeah, that's devastating news. And literally, yeah, hot off the press, that one. Just saw it on social media a few moments ago. So, look, it's, you know, any player that suffers an ACL injury, it's devastating for them because, you know, effectively you're missing, you know, most, if not all, of the season. At best, it's sort of a 7 or 8 month injury, usually around the, you know, 9 to 10 mark. So, you know, his season's probably done and dusted. And, you know, he's only 20, just joined from the Mariners, had a fantastic preseason. He's been featuring prominently. And the sort of guy, you know, he's a classic modern-day Australian player where, you know, a bit raw and whatnot, but, you know, has a lot of potential. And obviously Steve Corica seemed to believe in him a lot. So it was really exciting to see what he was about to, you know, produce this A-League season. But not to be for him. Obviously, he'll be devastated over the next, you know, 48 to 72 hours. Hopefully he can, you know, get into surgery ASAP and get into rehabbing it and get it back onto the pitch soon. And obviously, it'll open up a position for someone else. And I dare say Sydney FC, with the way they've, you know, recruited in the off-season and their, you know, extensive resources, they'll probably dip into the market for an injury replacement.
Dave, that's absolutely right. And it's horrible to see Trent go down like that, considering he's featured so prominently in the FFA Cup. We also see that Daniel De Silva's coming back from a hamstring injury as well. So the sooner those two can get out, the better. But how have you felt Sydney has replaced Bobo and Mijajewski, who were two of their best players last season and so important to their premiership winning season?
Absolutely critical. I guess importantly for them, they've kept Brost and, you know, Ninkovic, who were part of that attacking quartet, and also O'Neill and Brillante in behind them. So, look, the two replacements are absolutely high calibre. Siem de Jong, you know, capped about 6 times by the Dutch national team, has Ajax Amsterdam on his CV, and he's only, what, 29? So, effectively in his prime. And then Adam Lafondre, who, you know, also he's certainly not over the hill. I think he's around 32 rather. You know, Premier League experience, scored a truckload of goals in the Championship, which is a really, really tough competition. You only have to ask, you know, the many Aussies who've gone there, and a lot of them have really struggled to establish themselves, including, you know, Adam Taggart, who's consistently been one of the best scorers in the A-League. So, look, I think two guys who, you know, are bigger names than Bodo and Mijajewski when they got here, and I think have just as much, if not more, upside. So, fantastic recruiting from Sydney FC and Steve Corica. And when you throw, I mean, unfortunately, Bahaja's out now, but you throw Daniel De Silva into the mix, this Sydney FC attack has the potential to be even better than last season, which is, you know, exciting for them and ominous for the opponents, because, you know, last season's attack was deemed as one of the best in A-League history.
And, Dave, you touched on the age of, you know, Siem de Jong and Adam Lafondre, and it appears as though the average age of the foreign imports in particular has shifted from 33 to 34 to 27 to 30. Has this been one of the bigger positives of the off-season activity, that teams are recruiting players more so in their prime?
Yeah, I think so, Athos. It's a really good point. And I think it's part of the maturity of the A-League. You know, I guess when you think of the early days, no disrespect to these guys, because I think they, you know, all gave the league a sugar hit and whatnot. But, you know, there was Kazuo Miura and, I mean, I think he just retired, if he's not still playing, in the last year or so. He's, you know, I think in his 50s, but, you know, he was, what, 40 or late 30s when he got here. Romario, in his 40s and whatnot. But, yeah, like, even last season, like, someone like Bart Schenkeveld, who comes at the age of 25 and, you know, really in his prime, if not about to hit it. You know, just fantastic recruiting. Ola Toivonen and Honda, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, they're probably 35, 36-year-olds. So, yeah, Niedermeyer, Raul Baena at Melbourne Victory, and you go on and on. So, yeah, I think, like, every year we just probably improve the international recruiting by, you know, 5 to 10%. And the higher calibre recruits, you know, the knock-on effect that it has, like, for instance, you speak to Niedermeyer, and a big part of the reason he chose Melbourne Victory is because his old teammate at Stuttgart, Mathieu Delpierre, you know, spoke glowingly about it. And Delpierre was a fantastic high-calibre recruit a few years ago. So it certainly has that... you know, has that knock-on effect. And that's what ultimately lifts the level of the A-League. I mean, our Aussie players are, you know, slowly improving. But the higher calibre, the visa players, it obviously lifts the standards each week at the arenas, but also at training. And that only helps our Aussie players, and particularly the younger ones.
And, Dave, we've just come off the back of the AGM and the Congress. And there's been quite a lot of talk around the Congress. A-League clubs obviously want to break free from FFA and become independent, and they need to start generating their own revenue streams. How much off-field success for A-League clubs is generated by a big marquee signing?
Well, sometimes it's difficult to quantify, but it is a very good and pertinent question. I mean, you know, when you talk about marquee players, you know, it's a really interesting time in Australian sport, not just football. You've got Andrew Bogut, who's come and signed for the Sydney Kings, and he's obviously getting paid well, but he's also got a, you know, a share of the Sydney Kings, which is a very clever deal that they and the NBL effectively have orchestrated. We've got Usain Bolt trialing for Central Coast Mariners at the moment, which is moving really quickly off the back of him scoring 2 goals in Friday's trial game. And, you know, whilst a lot of, you know, particularly football, let's say purists, sort of scoffed at the notion of Usain Bolt playing in the A-League, I mean, last Friday indicated that, you know, if anything, he's improved like fivefold since he first got here. And he's dead set taking this seriously. It's not a piss take. And there's certainly offers coming in from overseas off the back of that, and there's, I think, the News Corp papers and websites will be running a story in the next few hours and in tomorrow's papers on that front, and there is a bit of pressure to Central Coast Mariners to actually, you know, do something potentially sooner rather than January, which is when they initially were, I think, looking at making a decision. So, you know, you've got them, you've got KCK Honda, and Honda's, you know, he's a big investment for the A-League and for Melbourne Victory. You know, how do you quantify that? Saturday night will be an interesting test case with, you know, round one and Marvel Stadium, as it's called. Obviously, you know, bums on seats is an obvious one, you know, TV ratings. But, you know, last week, Victory had their, you know, annual pre-season business luncheon with 1,300 people in the room, and you know it's one of their bigger ones. I think the only time they had as many people was the grand final function last year, but certainly the caliber of people was the highest of any of their functions. And you know, had the Japanese consul general in there amongst others. And you know, Victor would be a really interesting one to chat to, because I dare say, you know, the sponsors are bashing down the door to be associated with not just Honda, but the club, you know, when you've got a player of that calibre there. Because, you know, he clearly attracts more headlines. And, you know, they've got Metricon Homes on there as their front-of-shirt sponsor, which is, you know, a blue-chip sponsor. And, you know, they're certainly up the ante on that front. So, yeah, I think once the A-League does transform into a, you know, whether it's independent per se or... let's say more independent than the current scenario where it's effectively run by the FFA, I think it will release the shackles and enable the clubs to directly or indirectly make, you know, more money from their business and from signing marquee players like Honda and high calibre signings like CM De Jong and Adam Lafondre, etc.
And those high key signings do play a massive part in the league's build up, and of course, coming off a World Cup, which does help as well. And the odd Usain Bolt article over there doesn't hurt. But there is a big derby to start the campaign with Melbourne Victory taking on Melbourne City. Dave, what are your thoughts on having a derby the first game week of the season? Should we be saving this game for a later date where we can build it up, or is it having it at round one the ideal time?
Yeah, I think it's one of those that's up for debate. I mean, the season needs to start with a bang. You need to make an impact to, you know, announce the fact that, yeah, the competition's starting. Look forward to getting to the point where, you know, it's basically a lottery to see what fixtures come out of the Premier League and, you know, La Liga and these leagues around the world where you don't have to, you know, try and artificially... give it a publicity shot in the arm. It just looks after itself. So, but in saying that, even the AFL and the NRL, it's very carefully manufactured, the fixturing. It is what it is. I mean, obviously, it starts a week later this season with the FIFA international breaks coming in. You know, ordinarily it would have started last week, which meant the derby probably would have been in round two. But, you know, as long as it starts well and, you know, there's a few headline acts and it's a good game and a good contest and sort of sets the tone for the season, then, it's all good. But, the key for the A-League is to really continue that momentum throughout the course of the season, because usually it does start off with a bang. That carries through for a few weeks, even months, and then it sort of dips just after that sort of Christmas, January period. So, reported today in the News Corp and websites and mastheads and the Herald Sun that the FFA will be reloading in their pursuit of marquee players in January. There's about $1 million left in that kitty, and players of the calibre of Fernando Torres that will certainly be on the wish list if they are available. So, obviously that would be fantastic for the competition. If you can get that momentum going in the second half of the season, then the final sort of look after itself. Around that time, we should be, you know, much clearer in terms of expansion. The independent A-League will be far clearer. And, I think it'll be potentially a really exciting time. The Wanderers will be moving into their new stadium. Sydney FC's new stadium will be, you know, in the process of being refurbed. And, I think there's a lot of really positive things happening. And I'm just excited not to be talking about, the political issues, because remember getting on most weeks on the journos last year and spending the bulk of the hour talking with Carlos Alberto Diego about, football politics and even in the football Q&A that I was hosting. So, it's good that we can finally, move forward and focus on positives, focus on, creative parts of the game as opposed to this, farcical political, impasse that just dragged on for far too long and took away from the things on the field.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Dave. And it's certainly, we're moving into better times, especially coming into the A-League. Touching on movement, not only with players, but there's been quite a lot of movement with coaches. We've seen Mark Rudin go to Wellington Phoenix. Popper is at Perth Glory. Which coach are you looking forward to seeing this season, and who do you think has the most expectation?
Kevin Muscat probably has the most expectation because he's won the title and he's defending it, and they're a big club. And Steve Corica as well, like, it's his first year and whatnot, but they're big shoes to fill. The shoes of, the now soccer coach, Graham Arnold, who, broke all records before him at Sydney FC, but, ultimately couldn't deliver bring home the bacon in terms of the A-League title last season, although they, won the league in a canter. But the couple that you mentioned, I mean, Tony Popovich, Marcus Barbel and Mark Rudin, they're the ones that excite me. They're three, known names. But three, very different individuals in terms of, I guess, their profile and where they are in the football jigsaw puzzle. I mean, Popper had extraordinary success with Western Sydney, went over to Turkey this time last season. I think he was extraordinarily unlucky. I mean, had a win in his first game, and then the club, Cutterbook Sport, effectively stopped paying the players thereafter, and he was on a hiding to nothing. You know, had things have turned out a little bit different, I think he'd still be in Turkey and potentially be at a bigger club. He's got the potential to coach at a big European club slash in a big European league, and I dare say Perth Glory will probably be a stepping stone for him, whether it's one or two seasons. And Perth Glory and the A-League are very, very lucky to have him back. Mark Rudin, I think he's a coach that has enormous potential over a few years. I did a list of the 10 up-and-coming coaches in Australian football, and Mark Rudin certainly in the last few years featured really, you know, heavily at the top end due to his exploits with Sydney United, you know, where they quite often were in the, you know, top two or three in the New South Wales NPL, certainly weren't operating on the biggest budget and often did some damage, got to the last 32 of the FFA Cup. So the reports, and I spoke to Stephen Taylor, the former Newcastle United defender, today, who's at Wellington, and he just says Rudin is doing a fantastic job. His attention to detail is phenomenal, almost Tony Popovich-esque, and they're pretty good mates, and no doubt he would have learnt a lot from him, but will be his own coach in a lot of ways. And obviously, because they're, you know, across the Tasman, I think they've gone about their business quietly, and they'll surprise people this season, and the owners have unlocked the purse strings over there. I mean, Marcus Barbel, I mean, you know, What a name to come into the competition. I mean, as a player, had a fantastic career. We all remember watching him for Bayern Munich and Liverpool and the German national team. And you know, then as a coach, has fantastic credentials as well. With VfB Stuttgart, Hertha Berlin, and Hoffenheim, and most recently Luzern, where he coached Tommy Urich. So, Athos, you spoke about the calibre of player signings earlier. I mean, you know, this is a massive signing from a coaching viewpoint. And again, he's, you know, not too dissimilar to the players where previously we were getting guys who were, you know, a little bit past. It was the same with the coaches, guys who were perhaps looking for the, you know, to top up the retirement fund. Barbel's 46 and, you know, still relatively young in the coaching ranks. And, you know, I reckon he's still got a point to prove and still has unfinished business over in Europe or Asia. So I reckon it's just going to be a cracking season. And I think the coach's impact on the league is massively underplayed. I still think the best season in the A-League was 2012-13, not just because we had Del Piero, Ono and Heskey as marquee players, but it was the only season where we had Popovich, Arnold and Postecoglou here. It was Popper's first season, and it was Ange Postecoglou's last season before he went on to coach the Socceroos. And I thought, you know, with the return of Popper and Ange going to Melbourne Victory, I thought that just collectively raised the bar massively. And I get the sense something similar happened this campaign.
And that point about Marcus Babbel, he's come to the A-League breathing absolute fire. He's made a lot of statements about the quality of the league, even about his own players, to fire him up. And we've seen Mark Rudin go to the Phoenix, who's another big personality. So we've seen some big personalities go to clubs which perhaps need that, like the Wellington Phoenix. But Dave, one final one. We do love our predictions here. And even though it is a bit early, who do you think is looking at the best out of the team so far, and who looks like that they might be a contender for the title?
Yeah, I think Melbourne Victory's probably recruited. I mean, I wouldn't say the best because they had a strong team, but they've strengthened, and to strengthen a championship-winning team, you know, means that every indication is that they'll be up and about. They may start a little bit slow because some of their boys and their big boys came in pretty late, so it'll take time to gel, but they'll be there at the pointy end. Perth Glory, as I mentioned with Popovich, I expect them to be thereabouts at the business end. And, you know, thereafter, I think, look, Sydney FC is still really strong, but in saying that, Corrick has got massive shoes to fill, you know, with Graham Arnold. So it'll be, you know, interesting to see how they go. Melbourne City, I think, will still be really competitive again if bolstered and will be really fit. Warren Joyce's second season, he knows about the A-League now, whereas, you know, last year he was just starting and sort of, you know, even though they had a good start, I think he was, you know, he had his feet placed on as the season wore on. So, you know, I think it's pretty open this year, but, you know, victory just has to be the team to beat off the back of what happened, you know, last season and the strength of their signings, headlined by KCK Honda and Ola Toivonen.
Well, Dave, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you and get your preview ahead of the upcoming A-League season. And I certainly look forward to seeing you in the media box.
Good stuff. Look forward to it, guys. Good job.